Let me ask you, how many of you have seen It's a Wonderful Life? Okay, good. Who does not know how that movie ends? Like, has never seen the ending of it? Okay, good, because there was going to be a horrible spoiler alert today, and I just want to let you know up front what's coming. I don't want you to walk out going, I'm never going there again. That guy is killing me. No. So I took one of the original movie flyers for It's a Wonderful Life. And who's the guy who plays George Bailey? Jimmy Stewart. There you go. I was going to try to talk like Jimmy Stewart, and that was going to get ugly quick. So I decided not to do that today for you guys. And you're welcome. So, in the movie It's a Wonderful Life, you have George Bailey. And he's the main character in the movie, played by Jimmy Stewart, as you said. And not too long into the movie, if you remember, his life seems to be falling apart. And he's about had enough. He's ready to throw in the towel. It's around Christmas. It's the dead of winter and snow everywhere. And he goes to a bridge and he's standing. And this is where this is at, the image on the screen. He's standing out looking over the river in the freezing cold night, all the snow. And when he's there, he meets up with an angel named Clarence. Yep, Clarence, a funny old Clarence. And Clarence has been sent to help George out. And while he's there, George sort of prayerfully wishes that that he had never been born, because he just feels like life would be so much better for the people he loves and cares for if he'd just never been born at all. And so Clarence is able to get permission from up above to make that alternative reality to come to pass. And so what does George get to do? He gets to kind of go through some life as though he had never been born, and he's totally confused, and it's funny and crazy and sad. And spoiler alert, as the movie goes on, at the end, you find out that he's sort of restored, right? And he kind of gets his wits about him, and he doesn't want to throw his life away. He wants to take full advantage of the life that he has and the blessings that he has. His life has not fallen apart like he thinks it has. And it becomes a story of George's life being transformed for the good by God intervening in his life. And I know that's just a Christmas movie, but that idea of prayer bringing transformation to a person's life is true. It is real. And it can happen, and it has, and it does. Prayer can be a way through which God can transform us. And, when George is at rock bottom, standing on that bridge, and he's looking out over the river, he wants to jump in that river. And at that moment, there's this sort of principle I want to talk about for a moment that you see that's true in our lives, and we see it in this movie. Don't worry, I'm not just going to preach a movie. This is how we're starting today. And that principle is really this. It says our head and our heart, our feelings influence our decision-making. The things that we think about, and the emotions that come about as we think those thoughts, together those things influence the choices, the decisions that we make. What we would say is our willful decisions, our willful choices. And the truth is that this is not a psychology class. This is preaching the Bible. And as we think about that truth, though, God created every single one of us that way. And I know that because every single one of us do that very thing. Our thoughts and our emotions impact the choices that we make. But there's a problem, though. And that problem is that sin has really marred the way that works for our good. And I had a mentor of mine who said, because of that, we can suffer from stinking thinking. And I can't get that out of my head. That we suffer, right? We can suffer from stinking thinking, and that happened to me this week. Monday morning, I went to the gym early. I know you can tell. And when I was there, I found out the hard way that using dumbbells, that I can press the dumbbells a heavier weight than I can actually lift them up and extend out to put them on the rack. And so as I was finishing, I got done with the set, and as I said, well, I'm going to pick that up. I was like, you know, it would be smarter, Andy, if you pick it up with two hands and carry it. So that's what I did. And then I got over there, and I thought, Andy, you should pick this thing up with one hand and put this thing onto the dumbbell rack, because pridefully, I want to look like those strong guys that can just put it right there on that rack. Wrong choice. Wrong choice. As I lifted that dumbbell up to put that on the rack, it was heavy and I was straining and it slipped and I ended up pinching my finger and cutting it, whatever. And so I realized this week that you tend to use all of your fingers. And when you don't have them all functioning the way they normally do, like, it's a pain. It's so inconvenient. And it's all purple and stuff. It's crazy. Nothing like pain to get us to pray, you know what I mean? In a heartbeat, that was my experience, and I was reminded in a painful way that immature thinking, prideful thinking, can lead to some painful emotions and through some bad choices. And I got to thinking about you guys, and you probably hardly ever experienced that, but I thought maybe there was at least one person who has a story of, you know, thoughts, influenced emotions, pride, greed, selfishness, envy, whatever, that led to willful choice that maybe didn't turn out for your good. I thought just maybe I wasn't the only one. Is that fair? Is that fair? Those words been aligned with this? I figured probably was a pretty safe assumption. And you know, God knows that's how we function. And he knows we struggle, and that's why he also knows we need his grace to help us, to transform us, to restore us, to renew us, our head and our hearts, so that we can make some grace-filled, some wise decisions, which is where I think Paul is getting at. You're like, finally, he's going to bring the Bible in today. I didn't think we'd ever get there. In Romans chapter 12, and we'll throw that on the screen for us, I want us to see that you may have seen this verse before. Paul tells the Romans, he says, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can figure out what God's will is, what is good and pleasing and mature. Even Paul understands the power of thoughts that shape choices. You got to have that transformed. It needs to be restored. It needs to be renewed in Christ. It is the grace of God that needs to reshape that within us. And I know that that verse has nothing to do really with lifting weights. But I also know that God loves me and that God loves you and that God very much does not want to see us make hurtful, painful choices based on prideful, greedy, selfish, envious, lustful emotions, based on things that we're thinking about, right? Like, God wants good for us. He doesn't want you to have to go through that pain. I mean, some of the hardest lessons you learn are through some of the most painful experiences that you go through. Amen to that one, right? Amen. That's you know, some would say, well, that's just life. Well, it is life. God doesn't want us caught up in stinking thinking. I am a sure advocate for that. And you say, well, how do you know that? I'm going to tell you what. Because, Vicki, God loves you. God loves you. And he wants the best for you. He wants you thinking in a healthy way. He wants you feeling healthy emotions. He wants you making choices that are for your good, because he knows that they're for your good. And he wants them to be your experience, because he knows they're going to bless you. Right? That's what he wants for you, because he loves you. And for me, I think that's really at the heart of God's story. You think about, what is at the heartbeat, the theme of this Bible story, right? Anymore today, it's like, just hold up your phone, get your Bible, you know. If you read that story, that heartbeat of it is a saving story about a God who loves you and wants your best. It really is. This is what God has been doing from the beginning till now, and he will through the end. And I love Isaiah 43. I want to give you this this passage today. And of course, if you have your Bibles, you're feel free to read it as we go along here today. I love this. In Isaiah 43, at this part of Isaiah, it's the middle part. And so God is speaking through Isaiah to the Jews who are in Babylon. They've been exiled there because of their, talk about bad choices resulting in negative, bad outcomes, right? Like they weren't faithful to God, and so they end up getting exiled to Babylon, and so they're there. But God says, I hadn't written you off. I still have great things in store, right? And here's where he's getting at. Look at this. He says, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? In other words, do you not know it? Do you not see it? Behold, I'm making all things new. Can you imagine sitting in captivity, a place that you don't really want to be? It's not your home. And God speaks a word to you and says, I know where you're at. Forget where you've been. I'm leading you on to a new day. I'm not done with you. I love you. I've made a promise. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to renew you. Come on, I'm going to bring life to where it seems like it's just barren and death and nothing good. But I got more in store for you than what you see today. Because I'm making all things new. I haven't stopped. I'm still working, and I'm going to keep working. That's the heartbeat of the Bible story. If you ever wonder, somebody said, what's that Bible all about that you read all the time? It's a story about God making all things new through his son Jesus. That's the heartbeat of the story, really. Wherever you read in that story, you're going to read how God keeps intervening. He's intervening in his creation. He's helping the broken. He's helping those who are worn out. He's helping those who are barren for their good. It's like we would say, like that's God's MO. Like that's the way he works. And if it's Christmas, so let's bring in a Christmas story. In Luke chapter 1, how many have heard of Elizabeth? Elizabeth and Zechariah. Elizabeth, what few of you? Yeah, so Elizabeth was Mary. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, cousin. Elizabeth, married to Zechariah, Elizabeth can't have kids for some reason. But God says, that's not a problem. I got this. You're going to conceive. And they give birth to John the Baptist. Well, she does, like he gave birth to John the Baptist. Let's be honest about it. But God made that possible for them. And that story is not about Elizabeth. And that story is not about John the Baptist. It's not about Zechariah. That story is about God. It's about God taking what was barren and seemed like dried up and could not produce fruit. And he said, no. Because where I intervene, I'm working to make all things new. And I'm choosing to say that what is barren can bear fruit. Because that's who I am and that's my story. That's who I will be known for. When you tell my story, that's what I want you to tell. I want you to point people to who I am and what I do. Which, by the way, when we think about, go with me. So when we think about this cross, I don't know if some of you can see the cross over here with the Christmas tree. Not trying to hide it, but we can see it over here. Or there's one on the wall over there. When we have the cross, we often think of salvation, right? We think, wow, the Bible, a story of salvation. And it totally, totally is. And we think of who? Starts with a J. Thank you. Yes. Out of the mouths of babes. We think of Jesus and we think of the cross. Absolutely. And we think of the forgiveness of sin. Right? Absolutely. So we think, oh, salvation, saving, forgiveness of sin. And at the same time, we also need to see that that's a picture. It's a message of healing. It's a message of restoration. It's a message of redemption, but it's one of renewal. It's both. It's more than just a get out of hell free card, as the sort of crass saying goes, right? It's a symbol of God working for your good. If you need something to look at during the day to remind you that God's working for your good, because when you look around you, you go, I ain't seeing much reminding me of that. Would you have a little cross maybe on a necklace or something close to your desk or maybe in your car, somewhere you're going to see that, by your computer, if you were, you know, whatever, or I don't know, right? But somewhere you're going to see that, that can remind you when you look at that, that that symbol is a reminder to me that God has been and still is and will keep working for my good because he loves me in Jesus Christ. And I need to be reminded of that every single day. It's a hard, tough world out there. It's challenging. We need to be reminded. God wants to say that to us every day. And I find sometimes it's helpful if we have some things that remind us of that, an image of that, a sound or a smell, something that gets our senses, right, that may we touch, that reminds us. God, speak through that. That can be a very helpful way to hear that message. God's working for our good. And you say, can you give me something, please, from the Bible? Absolutely, Karen, here it is. 2 Corinthians, let's go to here it is. Watch it. Paul says this again. It says, but even if our bodies are breaking down on the outside, I got you on that one, my finger. The person that we are on the inside is being renewed every day. So when you get up and your back hurts, and your hip hurts, that's just me getting up every morning. I don't know about you. Your feet hurt, you're tired, you haven't had any coffee yet. I want you to know that my body may be breaking down on the inside, but what really matters is what Jesus is doing on me on the inside. Because what's going to point people to Jesus is not my broken down body, it's my renewed spirit on the inside that says, whatever comes, I'm not quitting. Whatever I'm facing today, I'm going to face it with Jesus. And whatever words are spoken against me, I know that God is speaking for me. And so I'm going to stand, I'm going to hold on to that today. That deal maybe didn't go through, but that's okay. God will provide. They cut me off in traffic in the Christmas shopping. It don't take much for that to happen. They cut in line. Do they not see me here? I'm not going to give them a bad look. Or you ever done that? Probably not. Y'all probably never done that. But just in case, maybe an option could be, God, would you just bless them? Lord, if they need that space, would you just bless them in this moment, in that space? Lord, help me be comfortable with where I am and the lot that I've been given in this moment in life. Because I know it's not by mistake that I am where I am and that I have what I have. And so if you'll just be with me and bless me where I stand, I'll be good. Because truly, Lord, I already know I'm blessed because you've already blessed me in Jesus. So no, it doesn't matter really where I stand, the front of the line, the back of the line. 20 cars deep at the stoplight, although that's a hard one. Or 5 cars deep. By the way, build margin in your schedule during the Christmas holiday. It's crazy. Build margin in your schedule so that you have time for Jesus and you have time for people. Because Christmas is about Jesus and it's about people more than it's about all the other stuff out here, okay? Build margin in your schedule for the things that matter. That's not even in my notes, but you can have that. So, I give you all of that to get you to this point right here. And that is, prayer is a means through which God renews us. And I think that's important during the holidays, which is why I brought this in during this series, that praying through the holidays, prayer is a gift for us. Because during the holidays, I really do think that's a gift we need to be reminded of. The holidays are a lot of fun, but they also, for many folks, can be a reminder of all that's not right or that we don't have going right in our world and in our lives. And in our lives, instead of being like a Hallmark Christmas movie, which we all know, like those are fictional stories, right? But still, when that's what we see portrayed as the ideal Christmas experience, and we go, ha, my life's more like Christmas Vacation than it is a Hallmark. It's more like Christmas with the Cranks than it is that. It, you know, it's like the Grinch stole my Christmas. I don't, you know, it's like it's not going to be like that. It's like I feel like I'm George Bailey from it. You know, It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah, I hear you. But it's fun. But on the other hand, we also, I think, we recognize our lives are not like the movies. You know, we're not like the perfect characters. We don't all have those beautiful storylines, right? Man, we bring our hiccups and our hang-ups. We bring our hurts into the holidays. And honestly, those things stir up unrest inside of us. You can fake it, but you know what I'm talking about. It stirs up unrest in a time when you hear this message of Jesus and peace on earth and rest, right? And you're going, oh man, I need some more of that in my life. And that's why I think prayer becomes such a great gift for us in the holidays. And here's why it works. Put that list on the screen for me, would you? Faith is a powerful thing. You go, well, there's the statement of the week. If you think about faith, I want you to think of it in this lens here. Like, faith is leaning into God with trust and this sense of just opening our lives to Him and talking to Him, but also listening to Him. That's one of the things we may not do as much as take time to listen, sit and listen, but it is faith listening to God, right? And then trying to implement what He tells us. Because God's working for our good. He wants us to make wise choices, right? Like, use two hands on the dumbbell, silly. Don't use one. Like, don't be a fool because of pride kind of thing. Make smart choices that will be for your good kind of thing, right? But please, you know, like, it stretches more than that. But, like, that's really a life of faith. And the Scripture tells us that God has transformed people's lives through faith. But you know what? Relook at that list, but think prayer. Prayer, leaning into God with trust, opening our lives to God, talking to God as we pray, listening to God as part of prayer, trying to implement what He tells us as part of prayer. It's awfully similar, isn't it? Awfully similar. So I believe prayer can be an act of faith through which God transforms us, just like He's always done and He's still doing today. And I think that's a wonderful gift that God gives to us. And it doesn't matter how hard you try to make it all work, because, hey, some of us try super hard, right? It's about God making it all work. He truly is the one who brings it all together for our good. And I like this verse that I want to read to you. Throw it up on the screen, please. And it says this. We are being transformed into that same image from one degree of glory to the next degree of glory. And this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So the Apostle Paul teaches us that our transformation, our restoration, our renewal, that it really isn't about how hard you work at it. Like the goodness that grows within you. You're like, man, I've been doing good. I've been disciplined. I've been consistent. I've been reading the right books. I got the best life coach in the world. Man, I'm telling you what. I'm like, that's great, but that's not where it's coming from. The good that's growing in you is coming from God. Scripture says it comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Amen. He is doing the work in you. And the things that you are doing are helping, but it's ultimately coming from God. And that's a gift in our lives. Here's what I think. This is my experience, that when He's doing that, check this out. He makes us better discerners of His goodwill. That we know what is good and pleasing and acceptable for our lives according to God. He helps us trust the Spirit's counsel. more than our own thoughts and feelings as we're making decisions. He helps us. He grows us in the character of Jesus. Galatians 5, Ephesians chapter 4, right? Like all that growth and that restoration, that transformation, man, is coming through faith and prayer. And I'm going to be the first one to tell you it doesn't fix everything. But Pastor, I ought to just pray and it ought to fix it. I mean, ask and you shall receive. Come on, the Bible says it, like it's got to be the way it works. It doesn't fix everything in life. But that's not what it's about. Prayer's not about fixing everything. Prayer's about drawing close to God, who's our Creator and our Savior and our Redeemer, the giver of life, the protector of our eternal salvation. It's about the honor and the privilege of drawing up under His wing and to find rest in Him and to lean into Him and to talk to Him and to listen to Him and to try to put into practice what He gives us, knowing that He's going to speak to us for our good. That's the heartbeat of what prayer is really, really about. And it's such a gift that we get the opportunity to do that. And I'll end with this. I firmly believe that who you are becoming in Christ, who you are growing, how you are growing up in Christ, reflecting His character in the world, the more that is happening through you, the more people are going to be pointed to Jesus. But God has to make that development happen in each of us. And that's why prayer is such a wonderful and powerful time for us to just be with God, to listen and rest in Him, right? Take that Sabbath. Remember that one we talked about? Take that time and say, Lord, I just rest in Your presence. Would You work on me? Help me, grow me, mature me. Give me wisdom beyond my years. I have prayed that prayer all through my ministry career, and I'm hoping someday it's going to happen. Pray without ceasing, right? The Bible says, so I'm going to keep on asking for that. But it's really what God is doing in me that people witness and get to experience that points people to God. And ultimately, that's what a disciple's life is about. It's pointing people to God. Your life should be pointing people to God, and prayer can be a way through which God is transforming you that helps point people to Him by the way you're growing up in Jesus. That's it. So why don't you start with that? I don't know. It just came to me. But it works. It works. It really does. Prayer is such a wonderful Christmas gift. I firmly believe that. And if through your life of prayer, you have had some experiences where God has, He has given you, has invited you into rest. He has given you comfort in your grief. He has fostered hope within you. If He has been transforming you, man, we would love to hear your stories. Not just because we want to elevate you, but because we want to give God the glory for what He's doing in the lives of His people. Amen. Because He's at work. And we want those stories to go out, because that encourages other people to trust in Jesus then too, when they know that it's actually working in other people's lives who probably look and, you know, live lives somewhat similar to them. And that's a great witness tool. Amen. Amen. Hey, would y'all do me a favor and stand with me as our worship team's going to come back up and we're going to do a Christmas song, Joy to the World. It's going to be good. I want to thank our kids and a couple of our Fusion helpers for coming up today to help me with our little teaching moment this morning. Lord, I just ask that You would take and bless the heads and the hearts and the wills of all of us so that we would walk in Your wisdom. Make choices that will bring You glory and honor, and continue to experience You working for our good in our lives as we draw close to You in prayer and just want to say thank you, Lord, and thanks for loving us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.